It's 4 o'clock on a Monday, and you know what that means, don't you? It's time for another exciting episode of Taxi TV Live. Woohoo, baby! This show is a pre-record, and I am absolutely delighted that somebody who I have fallen in love with as a friend texted me last night and said, I'm in town, can we hang out? And I said, even better. Come to the office tomorrow, and we will record an episode of Taxi TV. Yay. Ladies and gentlemen, meet Miss Kim Tibbs. So, I met Kim in a professional capacity about 2 or 3 months before the Taxi Road Rally last November. Mm-hmm. This lady with incredible energy. Let me make sure that's working. This lady with incredible energy reaches out to me and says, I'm a taxi member, but I am also director of sales at Here Technologies, and I think we might be interested in being a sponsor at the Road Rally, to which I said, great. So we had many phone conversations. We hit it off. They were, in fact, Here Technologies was a very welcomed and very popular sponsor at the Road Rally. And Kim and I went out to dinner, as I often do during the rally. I go out with sponsors, and we hit it off big time. And we just got back from a two-hour lunch today. And I am telling you guys, you are in for a treat. She's there is no other Kim Tibbs on the planet Earth anywhere. And she's so inspiring that for every musician who's ever had any self-doubt, can I do this? Should I stick with it? This is... It's the main theme of what we're going to talk about today. But first, let me give you a little background on Kim. She's been a rising name in the world of music entertainment with over 25 years experience as a professionally endorsed musician, recording artist, producer, songwriter, and studio owner. Crediting her late father, Pastor Robert L. Tibbs, she has worked with artists including Billy Ray Cyrus, CeCe Winans, the Blind Boys of Alabama, Layla Hathaway, Dr. Lonnie Smith, the hit rhythm section of Memphis, Percy Sledge, Scott Tibbs, the Swampers of Muscle Shoals, John Stoddard, and many more. Kim has had success in the international markets. She's had 2 number one soul albums on the UK charts, on the UK soul charts. And like I said, her day gig is director of sales at Here Technologies, and we'll talk about that in a minute. And she's also a taxi member. But one of the things that intrigued me about you when we first met when we went out for that lengthy dinner was she is a world-class Hammond B3 player. Like, literally anybody in the Hammond B3 world knows who this lady is. Tell us a little bit about the Hammond. Let's start out with the small stuff.
The small steps. Yeah.
Tell me about how you got into playing a B3 and what your life is, that part of your life, because you have many facets.
So I've always been a musician. I started playing piano, classically trained, since the age of 2.
Okay.
And
wow.
Started playing in my dad's church at an early age for the church choir, for those that are... got a background in gospel music. That's main part of where I got my start. But I ended up having a football injury to my right hand.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. There's something.
I was playing football, and my dad, in spite of having 3 major surgeries, stitches, staples, everything. I'm talking about like everything on my right hand. Daddy's thing was, I don't want you to give up your gift of music. So stitches in hand, staples in hand, he made me start back playing. And what he made me start playing was a Hammond B3 organ.
Interesting.
Because it's softer. And in the process of learning how to play again, I've developed a love for, hey, there's 2 keyboard sets.
Yeah.
There's bass pedals. And there's a volume pedal. And I could be the loudest person in the room if I want to be. Crank it up. But it allowed me to be able to develop a key signature style and a sound And so as I started evolving, there was a local hero in music. We knew him as Eddie Chalmers, but the world knew him as Spanky. And
Okay.
Spanky's played for everybody. He's deceased now. But as a,
Also as a B3
well,
player?
no, he was a guitarist.
Okay.
But as a 14, 15-year-old kid, I started being able to go around with him and learn how to understand feeling, understand padding, understand the drawbars. And understanding just the world of what do I do in a band? And there's bass, there's guitar, there's piano, there's drums, there's strings, even horns, whatever. What do I do? And I was able as a young adult to, be able to learn my part. And so it stayed with me as I evolved into a little bit more of an adult, as I feel like I haven't gotten over the
You're
age of
still working on
25.
that.
But that's how I got into the world of B3 music. And for me, endorsements were important. And so at the time, there was no Nord, but everybody knows him in Oregon, USA. And so
And where did you grow up again?
I grew up in Huntsville,
So
Alabama.
not exactly a center of the music industry,
No, at
okay?
all. But there's the great thing called Muscle Shoals, Alabama. Great place. Some of the most incredible musicians and incredible songs in the world that we know and love, and artists even came through and recorded at Fame 3618, as well as Muscle Shoals too, and Wishbone. And so the list of all of the hit records that came out of that area, I guess it kind of trickled down a little bit to the folks in Huntsville. So
How far away is Muscle Shoals from
it's
Huntsville?
about an hour.
Oh, so
It's
close.
very close, and
Okay.
it's not like the traffic out here, guys. It's horrible at
Yeah,
all. Nowhere near it, but
welcome to my town.
oh my gosh. Yes. So, just the love of the instrument itself and the love of being able to have the freedom of choice and option when you're playing an organ is why I just loved it better than a piano. And one part of that is amazing with being part of the Hammond Organ, USA company is nobody picks at or tears apart what you do. Everybody loves what you do. Everybody is complimentary. We root on our Hammond artists. And if we see an organ and we see a player, or even to the point where we wish people, each other birthdays and
Wow.
tagging each other on social media, because social media is important for you musicians that are not doing it. Please get to it, get hip to it. But it's a company that loves all, loves women, loves men, but they love the players. And so when you're part of the Hammond family, it's just beautiful. So that was my first endorsement. And then I said, well, I kind of like this and I like that. And so endorsements upon endorsements, it just kind of got me to where I am here.
And let's talk about your songwriting. How old were you when you started writing?
Well,
Like,
if
really writing?
okay, so my mom tells the story about how she found one of my little letters that I wrote to a boyfriend years ago. If you want to call that writing, I
Yeah.
think I was maybe eight.
No, I'm talking songwriting.
But songwriting,
But was it a musical note to the boyfriend? I love you, you love. Oh, wrong song.
wrong song, but
Yeah.
really professionally, my songwriting really took off, I think, when I was really in the starting parts of my high school years.
Okay, so a
Like
while.
freshman, sophomore year, I was dibbling into poetry back then is what I would do. I'd be
Yeah.
sitting in, I never will forget, I was sitting in Algebra 2 writing poetry. So there's this guy that used to sit behind me in a math class, Andre Wainwright. He was the singer, and I'd be like sliding him poems and like, hey, what do you think about that? And that was the evolution of my songwriting.
Was
And
he
then
like this? Oh,
I
gosh.
know, but here's the crazy part. So I know for a fact I wish that I could have been in marching band, but I never had the time because I ran cross country and track in high school.
Okay.
But there's like some of my classmates who were like, we had no idea you knew how to play anything because I was just so quiet natured at school.
Boy,
And
that changed over time. She's
I
anything but quiet.
well, I mean, we believe in living intentionally now. Making an impression. But honestly, I wish that I had had the opportunity to kind of be in a more structured setting to really learn about music, because I didn't really get into the sense of bands until I was in my early 20s.
Okay, so not that late,
Not
but
that late, but it was high school that really gave me that moment of songwriting.
Anybody who knows you, and I don't know Kim well, but I feel like I know her well. I mean, we've had a long lunch and a long dinner, and in 4 hours worth of hanging out, we've covered a lot of territory and gotten to know each other pretty well. You're fearless. I would venture a guess that anybody who knows you would say, yeah, she's fearless. How did you develop that? You know what? I'm going to tell a story without mentioning a name of something that happened
Okay.
to you at the NAMM show because actually, you tell the story at the.
I'll tell the story, wait,
But
and I
don't
won't
mention
mention the
their.
name.
Right. Just trust me when I
Okay,
tell you it's
trust me.
a world-class artist that
Okay.
every person on the planet knows.
Circa 2024, Anaheim Convention Center. I see this crowd of people, y'all, with cameras. People going all over the place. And they're just like flocking. And I'm like, it looked like a bee's nest because it was like just people everywhere. Like they were moving. And I was like, who is that? Who is that? Who is that? And so I just got curious. So I went on and I said, let me take my phone. You know, it was important. Let me see how far. Okay, we got 90% good. Y'all, I went and I saw and I was like, oh, no way. You're joking me. No way. Okay. All right. So I'm devising a plan. My personalities start talking to each other. How are we going to do this, Kim? How are we going to get in there? We got to, Kim, you've got to do this. You've got to do this. This is what my personalities, girl, we've got to
I'm
get in front of the
lowering the
crowd.
input on the mic. Okay.
So here's what happened, gang. So I seriously said, okay, I'm going to meet this person. I'm going to meet this person. I'm going to meet this person. And I got to where this person was in this particular booth, and they sat down. And then I'm looking at them, and I'm trying to kind of envision myself going through the crowd of security because they had mad security. They had like event coordinators, all these talky places, you know, the earpieces
Yeah.
and stuff. Get out of the way is what I wanted to say. And then as I'm standing, like I'm trying to go, then a person comes into my face about this. The distance that you are from me. And he says, I found you. And I'm like, found me for what? Move. I'm trying to get to the artist. And he was like, no, what's your name? I was like, doesn't matter what my name is. He's like, no, seriously, what's your name? And I told him. And I'm steadily looking, trying to make sure the crowd had moved because I've got to depend. You know, we got a plan. And he's like, well, what do you do? And I told him a little bit about what I was doing. And I was like, okay, hold on. He's moving. So thank you, bye. And he says, no, seriously, what do you do? And he says, well, let me ask you, what perfume are you wearing?
That's his best line.
That was his
What
line,
perfume?
but he was dead serious. And I was like, what? He said, what perfume are you wearing? He asked me, are you wearing a certain right? Can you smell me?
It's good.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he was like, this is a certain fragrance from my country.
I've
I
never
was
done that. 13 years taxi TV, I've never sniffed
I mean,
perfume.
it's good, trust me. So he's like, this is a special fragrance from my country.
Okay.
You're a special person. And I was like, okay, that's great. Can we move? Because I'm trying to get to the artist. He takes my hand. He said, come with me. And I was like, he wasn't even forced. He just took my hand.
Okay, not being kidnapped.
Not
That's
being
just all
kidnapped, but he says,
right.
all right, come with me. And he moves the security away. All the little blue,
Part the Red Sea,
part the
baby.
Red Sea like Moses. And in comes me. And I had this music of the angels, like, yes, I did it! Yeah. I mean, I'm going all like, and then I'm sitting there in front of my hero. And he's serenading me. And nobody else was around me. I tuned it all the way out because I soaked it all the way in. You know, I got video of it too. And I did, I'll show it to you.
You had a crew.
And then he turns around, and the security, who I now know is the head of the man's security for the
Okay.
last 30 years, says, such and such, I have Miss Kim Tibbs. She's very special. She's da 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 da. She plays a Hammond organ. She wants to meet you. And he reaches and hugs me. And he's like, oh, you smell good. And he was just, I
I've
was
got to
just,
buy my wife some
yeah,
perfume
you do. You
apparently.
got to. Valentine's is coming, y'all.
Okay.
And so he was like, and he's still hugging on me. And I just said, I just love you. I love you. I thank you for all that you've done. You've been an amazing, like, hero to me. And I told him, I wrote Summertime on my album as a paying homage to you. and I would die to be able to work with you. I just spoke my heart's desires. He whispered down in my ear. He says, okay, this is my name, his real name. And this is my number. Can you remember it? Yes, I can remember it. And I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And I'm just doing the whole panic. All of the personalities are all screaming at the same time in my head. True story. So how I knew it was legit, the security guy gave me his number too.
Wow.
And then the artist turned around and said, that was amazing music. And called me 2 days later and said, where can I purchase your album? And I said, sir, you got a care package coming over from the UK right now.
We're talking this album, right?
Hey, that's me.
That is
you. Yes, hi me.
I had to truncate the picture a little bit to get it in the frame, but that's you.
That's the cover of The Science of Completion, Volume 1. It was a dream. It's still a dream.
And here is an action shot.
Hey me. Yes, so I was able to perform on Huckabee back in January of 23, and I was able to perform.
Oh, yeah, tell this story. She's talking about Mike Huckabee, the former governor of Arkansas, presidential candidate. He had his own TV show for years.
Yes,
he still does.
Still does. It's on TBN now. Yeah. Same scenario, y'all. I'm in Guitar Center in Nashville this time.
Yeah.
And this guy is staring at me, and I'm like, okay, why is he staring at me? Okay, and we were like, you know, he was shopping for stuff, I'm shopping for stuff. And he's like, you look familiar. Now, I'm dressed up a little right now. This day,
aren't you always? I didn't see you.
No, if you had seen me in Guitar Center that day, I had a baseball hat, I had, thrown back. I mean, seriously, I had on sweatpants, it was no makeup day, everything. And this guy was just like, I know you from somewhere. And I was like, oh, he says, what do you do? I said, well, I play keys in Hammond. He said, that's right, what's your name? And I was like, Kim. I said, Tibbs. That's right, I heard you. I did Billy Ray Cyrus's 25th anniversary release of Achy Breaky Heart. So I did the organ backgrounds on it and with Billy. And so he had heard it. And most people really haven't, heard that version because it's, a real customary Muscle Shoals, over-the-top Muscle Shoals, full production, horns. It was amazing. It was a dream doing it. But he was like, that's right. Oh, my God. And he's like, so... you know, what all do you do? And so I just gave him a quick rundown of who I am. Now, mind you, I didn't know who this guy was, but he knew me.
Okay.
And so anyway, he was like, well, you know, let me hear some of your music.
He plays bass, by the way.
Yes, Mike Huckabee plays bass. I didn't know. I mean, you know. So, I mean, within 10 minutes of leaving the store, Trey, which is his name, Trey Worley, who is the music director of Huckabee Show. Okay. I didn't know he was the music director for Huckabee. But when he called me back, he was like, oh my God, Governor's going to love you. And I don't know who Governor is. I'm like, who is that? Is that an AKA nickname? Who's Governor? And he was like, Governor is going to love you. He's going to love your sound. I mean, I'm going through your songs. I could play your album from start to finish is what he's saying. He says, what are you going to be doing January the 6th? I said, well, I mean, hopefully I'm alive, but if I'm not doing anything, you know, what is it? He says, would you be interested in performing? I said, sure, where? He said, Huckabee. And I was like, where do I know Huckabee? Where do I know the name?
And I
was
thinking, never seen the show.
I'd never seen the show. And so the only Huckabee that I knew of, honestly, was Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
His daughter.
And I was like, okay.
Who's the current governor of Arkansas.
Of Arkansas. But at the time, you know, she was the secretary, you know, press secretary for...
Trump. White House. Right.
And so I was like, okay, well, let me know what the details are. Next day, I wake up to 10 emails from the TBN network and all of these... you know, personnel related to Huckabee's show, aligning my trip to Huckabee and asking me how and what do I need? What do I need them to have? And, you know, it was just such a fast professional setting. Trey was like, well, these are the two songs that, you know, really stick out in the mind.
So they wanted you to play your songs on his show.
Yes.
Wow. You weren't just a side person.
No.
Wow.
It was, we did live, Where Would I Be Without You, which was the number one song off of the album. The first number one. And then Miracles.
All right.
Miracles is number four. And he said that the album just touched him. So.
Wow.
I mean, just being able to do it First of all, if you've never done TV before, it's eye-opening because it's a production from the time you arrive to the time you get ready to get on set. There's monitors, there's lights, there's cameras.
Unlike Taxi TV.
It is like 19,000 lights. It will catch if you breathe wrong.
Yeah.
So
I've only got 1, 2, 3, 4.
You're not doing bad though, but I was a little nervous, and then I was like, oh, okay, this is going to be cool, you know. And I didn't realize it was a live audience. It was probably almost 1,000 people in there.
Wow.
And so these people didn't know anything about my music. It was a brand new introduction
to it.
Where
did they shoot it? In Nashville?
Well, they have two locations. There's one out here in California, and then there's also in Nashville. So the Nashville and Hendersonville is where the Huckabee, you know, site is for his show. And it was just from the start to finish, we did rehearsal. So this is what professionalism is for you musicians that say, hey, I want to get to the next levels. You need to know that there's levels to the musicianship. They asked me for my stems, and I sent them my stems. And stems, for those that don't know what I'm talking about, that is the actual breakdown of all of my parts for my songs.
So they wanted that so that each person in the band could learn what they had to do.
Learn their part, but also so that they would have the ability to really professionally to professionally mix my song for television right there on the spot.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, oh my goodness. It was amazing. Then getting there and doing the actual rehearsal was like 35 minutes. So I'm thinking, oh, we'll be here for like a couple hours. No. They knew my songs from the top to finish. They had them memorized. There was no charts. It was boom. This is just my songs.
Yeah.
And it was just beautiful. And Mike Huckabee was on bass. And he held the fort down really good.
Were you intimidated at all? Not that I think you're somebody who's prone to be intimidated ever, but.
You know, I was a little bit afraid at first. But when I have my B3 organ there, I'm one with the instrument, so it's like you throw me in water, I can swim. You've got my organ.
That sounded nasty. I've got a question about B3s. Mm-hmm. Guitars all have a personality and a feel. They're all pretty unique. There may be some that are similar. Maybe the same model is somewhat similar. Are B3s pretty consistent from instrument to instrument, or do you sit down and one go, oh, this one feels a little different than my one?
That's it. Listen, I've played some really incredible B3 organs. One in particular, when I was at Southport Weekender last year in the UK, Bognor Regis, on my rider, I asked for a B3. I didn't know that they were going to give me the ultimate, most amazing B3 organ that has had the most eclectic history. That was the organ that, from what I was told, was Billy Preston used it with the Beatles. And this black, beautiful organ had the warmest tone. And it was just, as soon as I touched it, I got like little electric tingles. I don't know. I don't know if I'm the only person that gets that. But it was just something magical when I was pulling the drawbars. Each B3, I mean, there's several. There's B3, there's C3, there's A100.
Yeah, remember I told you my wife's grandmother passed away and they gave away the C3 that was sitting in her house. That was like in brand new condition because it belonged to a little old lady.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway,
So they're all different.
And do the drawbars sound different from instrument to instrument?
They do. And it depends on the year. It also depends on if it's got original tubing, if it's been serviced well. And, you know, some might have a real grungy sound. Some might have a real warm sound. And then some might have just a real smooth. But it depends on you as the player, which is why I love Hammond. Because you have the ability to pull a drawbar and make whatever noise and sound that you feel. And it's just incredible, you know, with what that instrument can do.
How do you learn how the drawbars sound? Because I messed around on my wife's grandmother's C3, and I could hear the differences, but it's not like there's a manual or any, you know, it's not like looking at a computer screen with software, you know what I mean?
I mean, you just, honestly, the only real way that you're going to learn how to understand the drawbars is you just got to really pull them out and play with each setting. Now, there's like a 16 all the way down to a 1 at the top, you know, if you can envision what a hamburger. So you just have to pull the drawbars. Now, there's presets on the left side that you can kind of mimic. But the more advanced players, they develop a tone. It's like you develop a tone that really is your signature. You play around with the drawbars and you figure out, okay, if I pull it out halfway, what does that sound like? Or if I pull all of them out, what does it sound like? What does it
Well, and
do?
will it be pretty consistent from instrument to instrument? So if you
Yes.
pull, if today you're on my B3 and you pull the drawbars out halfway, tomorrow you're on yours at home, it'll be pretty close.
It'd be pretty close. That's consistent there. But the magic of it is what you create. What do you do? How do you set your instrument? And that's where the fun comes in. Like there's so many, I love so many different B3 organists, but Dr. Lonnie Smith, and he's deceased now, he was at our Hammond, Oregon Hall of Fame. And I remember sitting beside him, scatting with him, and he was just telling me, "You're special, kid. Keep on doing what you're doing, because you're representing so many people, but you're also giving women a voice on this instrument." And he's always forever giving you just the most solid advice, beautiful spirit. And you would think that this person, this god of organ, in essence, you would just think, wow, he knows little old me. Somebody from little Huntsville, Alabama, like, wow, I'm getting world class, cheerleading advice, basically, all in one from someone that's another hero of mine. And so it's just really incredible, the journey that I've been able to experience, because I've got stories for days, true stories
That's why I
on.
want you on Taxi and
We're
TV. We're gonna get to some of
unpacking
those.
stories today. Yes.
Well, I'm amazed by all that, but the thing that really, really impacted or gestated my friendship. Wow, that was a big word for me. The thing that really got our friendship going, Kim has a home studio that's not just like a little, I got a laptop and a microphone and a pair of monitors. She is as into audio gear, especially like vintage audio gear,
Yes.
as I am. And the two of
Yes.
us went out to dinner at
Yeah.
the Thai restaurant next to the Westin
Yes.
Hotel that's very popular with the members during the road rally.
Yep.
And I was just literally, I kept thinking, shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. Because as she's telling me about her studio, I'm thinking, how do you get out of the house? I would never leave. Tell us about your studio.
Okay, so for me, I'm a girl, yes, but
Really? I hadn't noticed.
kind of feel like I'm just a Renaissance woman, because there's so many things I love, but I knew early on in my career as a songwriter, I've got to have a place where I can record me.
Right.
I have been through years and years and years of the producers that wanted to tell me how I wanted to sound. And I'm like, no, but I hear what I want. I have been through years and years and years of studios that wanted to give me the sound that I'm supposed to have instead of taking my request and making it, known. And so I said, all right, I'm gonna build a studio. I'm gonna build this, if you build it, they will come. I had this big epiphany. I'm gonna build this studio. And it just started off as I just wanted to put gear that I had collected over the years into my spot. Well, that kind of grew. And so I remember sitting here across from you, and I'm telling you, well, here's my studio. Well, let you see it. And you were like, oh. Michael's mouth was like,
I literally had to remind myself to shut my mouth.
he was like, what do you know about this? I was like, oh my gosh, I know this and that. And we were just going through.
Yeah, she and I don't mean to sound like a sexist, but she can talk audio with any of my guy studio rat friends. But, and I'm sure there are many more women doing audio today than there
Yeah.
used to be, but they're never enough. I've actually
Yeah.
done panels at the Road Rally. I think that there's absolutely no reason
No.
that, like, when a member says to me, "Oh, I can't do a mix till my boyfriend gets home," I cringe at that because why do you have
Why
to
do you
wait
need
for
one
your
of your
boyfriend?
boyfriend?
So
Yeah.
you are like the world's most shining example of somebody that said, "Screw that, I can
Yeah.
learn it on my own." So
And that's
there.
what happened. I just said, you know what? I've got I've got a good idea of what did I need to have in my studio, because I mean, I've been in studios all over the world. I've recorded at tons of spots, and I just you take bits and pieces, and obviously you're gonna take pictures, and then you go back and you look at your pictures and blow them up and be like, what's common that all of these studios have? Okay, there's vintage mics, there's usually a console. Hey, there's gonna be a Hammond organ and a great piano, and there's gonna be good bass, good guitars. There's always tons of drums and snares that you can pick from for different sounds.
Right.
And for me, I had a lot of analog gear going on. So I said, all right, I need to have a good space to put all this, and I needed to be able to make sure that it's muted because I didn't want my neighbors next door to be
So,
complaining.
did you take a garage and turn it into a studio, or did you build a
No.
new addition to your house?
I took my theater room upstairs
Okay.
and I turned it into a theater studio.
How many square feet, give or take?
It's about 1,500 square feet.
So
Pretty
sizable.
sizable.
Yeah.
So it's big enough where I have on one side of the wall, I've got 18 analog keyboards just going down. And I'm showing Michael this. Like, this is my wall of analog
Oh, I mean, seriously,
keyboards.
she's got like 40 or 50 keyboards on that wall. It literally looks like a guitar center.
It wasn't until I got to, well, this is my tape machine. You knew this is the 2-inch deck. And Michael's like, you know about a tape machine? That was when it took me out. I was like, yeah, what's. And so I had to explain to Michael, y'all, most of my most memorable moments in studios were not with younger producers, but I got a chance to sit under Jimmy Johnson. Jimmy Johnson recorded the Rolling Stones' Wild Horses. When they first came to Muscle Shoals, he was their first engineer. And he gave me stories about, hey, I didn't know what I was doing. We were just trying to make them sound good. We
Right.
just went with what we felt. And you just recorded some of the most iconic music in history, and you didn't know what you were doing. And he just told me, same thing, keep doing what you're doing. If you had been alive 30 years ago, I don't know if there had been an Aretha, is what he said to me, because, she recorded most of her biggest hits down, in Muscle
Muscle
Shoals at
Shoals, yeah.
Fame. So I just said, all right, I gotta do what I see all these studios. I'm blowing up all the pictures. And I go down my little list and I'm like, all right, I gotta get a 44.
A
gotta get a,
microphone, an
yeah,
RCA
gotta get the
44,
RCA. I was like, okay, we
ribbon
gotta get the
mic.
77 DX. That's it. I see
Wow.
that because that's in Royal. So I was like, okay, I gotta have the JH24. That's the tape machine most times, or a Studer. I gotta have it. So I'm just going down the list of stuff, right? And that's what happened. I ended up, doing a pretty good job. I've made some eclectic music. I mean, so far, hey, I got a couple of placements through Taxi
Oh, you didn't
from
even tell me. You didn't even
my
tell me.
house.
So you've got, what do you have for a console?
MCI JH800.
This is the other reason we bonded, is I started my career at Criteria in Miami, which was the testing ground, the proving ground for all of the MCI gear. And then I eventually moved to Triad Recording in Fort Lauderdale, which was exactly a mile from the MCI factory. So I knew all the guys that designed, built, and maintained the MCI products. So if they came up with a better transformer on the, like a mic pre-transformer, they would call me up and say, can we bring 28 over and install them tonight? Use them for a
Right.
month, let us know how they sound.
Yes.
When it was time for my console to get all new capacitors, they came out, took every channel strip out, and recapped my whole console for free.
Goodness gracious. Do you
So,
know what that was? Oh my.
yeah.
Do you know how much what that would be today?
40 grand,
If
maybe?
not more.
Wow. So I grew up, people used to laugh and say MCI stood for Munchy Crunchy Inside because the mic or the mic to track assignment buttons that were up at the top, I think there were 32 on that console, maybe
Okay.
24. You'd press them and they'd go, every button on the
Oh,
old MCIs, they made such a crackle
crackle
that you
noise.
needed to keep a can of Kremlin, which was contact cleaner, down
Yeah.
by your feet at the console. We're constant. I don't think I ever went through a session where I
Sprayed.
didn't
You had to
spray
spray
Kremlin
it.
on something. So
Oh.
when she said MCI, I said, I earned my stripes on MCI. So I was already falling in love with Kim, but then it was like, oh, will you marry me? Oh, yeah, I have a wife. There's that.
even worse because I was like, well, Mike, I have a soldering station, so I do my own repairs for vinyl. All of my vintage keyboards, my tunings of the Wurlitzers and the Fender Rhodes. And I had to learn how to do this stuff because I was like, keep in mind, I'm in Huntsville, Alabama.
Right.
So the nearest place that I could go for any types of services would be Nashville, which is an hour and a half away. Well, who wants to go to Nashville and drop a keyboard off and wait weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks?
By the way, have you been to 1979 Studios in Nashville?
Have I?
Okay, so we know. All right.
Chris? That's all. Yeah, yes! I just talked to him a couple of weeks back.
All right, that's like, there's a guy in Nashville that has a studio called 1979.
Welcome to 1970,
And it's filled with vintage equipment that dates back to the era when I was learning and coming up in the biz. And he is the world's leading reconditioning expert for all those MCI.
Yes, for all those MCI tape
mostly,
machines.
Yeah, the JH24s and two tracks.
Yes.
Anyway, that's a whole other story. Okay, so you had to learn how to fix your own stuff.
So, I learned how to set up. I had, some really great friends, musicians, some from Nashville, one in particular from Florence. And I was like, hey, boys, can you come over, please? And can you help me? I'll cook, so I'm also a chef. If you come anywhere near me, most people that have been around me know I'm going to cook, bake, barbecue, something.
All right.
And so it's easy to be able to persuade people. If I have food, they don't mind. So I usually cook enough so that you could take, as much as you want home. So
wow.
My specialties are my desserts. When I bake pound cakes or buttermilk pies or any of that stuff, it's never there more than a day.
All right, I'm coming to Huntsville.
We already said that.
Yeah, I know.
We got to really make it happen.
How many years have you had this studio now?
3.5. Well, no. Now, I've had a studio off and on for like the last 20 years.
But in this,
this mega center, you walk upstairs and it's like, I haven't had it for maybe 3.5 years. And I still...
Remind me before you walk out of here today, I have an idea for an acoustic treatment system for studios that when I told somebody else the industry, they immediately start Googling. Nobody else makes it. Anyway, I think it's a really good idea.
Okay.
Okay, so now let's talk about, at lunch we were talking about getting through hard times and figuring out who you are, and you mentioned journaling, and I thought, oh, this is girl stuff. I've got four daughters. I've heard about journaling. And so, as sexist as that sounded, I was very enraptured with what Kim was telling me. Can you talk about being where you are and journaling and how this stuff has helped your career? Because you are... There was a movie that you're probably not old enough to remember called Zelig. It was a Woody Allen movie about a guy who just shows up everywhere.
Oh, wow. I might have to watch it.
Yeah. And you're one of those people. The fact that you met that person at the NAMM show, most people would be dumbstruck that that happened. And I'm sitting there thinking, just another day in Kim's life. Because you are a master networker, but in a very pure sense. You're not manipulative or cheap. You don't cheapen networking. You genuinely bring something to the party. So tell us about your journaling, what caused the journaling, and how that has improved your life as a musician, as a writer.
As a writer, okay. So I was at a point in my life where I kept recycling the same events that were negative.
Okay.
Same types of events that were negative, whether it was breakups, whether it was just interesting times. I just kept recycling it. I was like, why do I keep going through this every so many years? I'm facing the same thing again. And I really had a moment where I just sat down in my floor and I just started crying, which is a human thing. It's not a girl thing. It's not a guy thing. It's a human thing. And I just really wanted to know, why do I have these moments where I just seem like I'll get one step further and then one situation happens and I'm knocked 1,000 feet backward? And for whatever reason, I just got the feeling that I needed to just look at where I was and just face it. So when you speak about fearless, at that moment, I had to look seriously at where I was. I had to face all of the many things at that particular moment that was giving me such a hard moment to get over.
How many years ago was this?
I'll say it was about roughly, it's around when my dad passed, so about 14 years ago. I was looking at, all right, I'm divorced, I'm single mom, and I'm like, I'm trying to be a touring musician. I can't get to these next phases because every time I think I'm getting somewhere, I keep having the same horrible situations to recycle. And when I sat down on the floor that day, I just cried. I boo-hooed. But because I do journal, I looked at everything that I had been writing and I noticed that it was nothing but negativity. It was just, oh, I feel horrible, blah, 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 blah. And I would go back and I'd look at the things that I was writing about my father before he, passed, but all of the times before where, he was, the doctor's diagnosis didn't look this way. Well, and it was just dark. It was nothing in my writing at all that was positive. Nothing. And I said, well, Cam, what are the memories that you keep on facing? Keep in mind, my thoughts now about memories are everything that's past, that's a memory in your mind. Now, if it's a good memory, it's good. But if it's a bad memory, and you keep recycling that thought about that bad memory, you're reliving your past in such a way, in a way where you're not getting over it, so to speak.
Hard to get past that, though, isn't it?
And, well, it is, but here's the mad scientist that came out of me. I was like, all right, well, we're not going to be able to get things done. You're a musician, you're a working mom, you got bills to pay, so you can't just sit on the floor and just stay there. You got to get up. So I took my journal and I just started jotting down the different ideas of things that I know I had kept reliving that were bad, that were terrifying. The very ones that I kept recycling, I just wrote them out. And what I did, y'all, I took seriously some time to really think about them. I did write the negative stuff about what happened, but on the flip side, I said, let's do 180. I took those moments and I said, well, how can I turn them positive? What can I say about this situation that'll make my thinking and my thoughts about the situation that was so detrimental turn into positive? And that's what I wrote next. And then the next thing that I did is I said, you know what? What do I want from the situation? Now that I flipped it into a positive, how do I reinforce this positive statement? So that's when I came back with my declaration statement. I want X, Y, and Z to happen because I have now looked at it from a positive standpoint. And then after I made my declaration, I canceled the assignment of the negative imaging that was that memory, and I replaced it with all positive affirmation.
How long, I know it's going to be hard to put a number in this, but per unit, let's say, per negative thought, let's treat that as a unit,
Yes.
that you then did a 180 and gave it a positive, and then what did you call it? An
An
affirmation.
affirmation, yes.
How long does each one of those units take? Is that like a day-long
Oh.
process? Is
Well,
it
here's
an
the
hour?
thing. It's really about how long you write. For me, some of those moments took several pages. Some of it took several days. Some of it was just 5 minutes, and then I'm moving on to the next topic. It's really what you feel about each one of those topics, how you get out all of everything that was negative.
And did it feel like a tremendous? The reason I'm going down this path is, look, none of us, we all like to be in our comfort zone. We don't like to work too hard. We don't like to work too hard at things that are painful. So you did it. And I want to know what your secret was in doing it in a way that the productive, positive aspects outweighed the negative and gave you the ability to keep moving forward.
The first thing I noticed is as I was doing it, I mean, I didn't notice a real big change after the first two or three topics. But when I moved closer into numbers 10, 11, 12, because it was a lot. I mean, think about everything you think you've experienced and you never healed over. That's when I started feeling a weight coming off of me physically. And the thoughts that I was replaying in my mind that were negative, I noticed that the pattern was, hey, I'm just thinking about positive, good stuff. I feel good.
Wow.
I'm waking up every day with energy. Hey, I'm waking up and I've got requests to do these things. Hey, can you go ahead and come up?
Kind of like physical training.
So it was like
you
physical.
Go to the gym long enough.
But it was mental, right. Physical training.
Yeah.
Because you got to put as much effort in your body, you got to put that much effort in your mind too.
Good to know.
You know, it's like you got to do your brain workout is what I call it. You got to work your brain, you know. And so, honestly, when I got past 15, it became a practice. It was a habit. Because I'm talking about days. I mean, this took me like a month and a half to maybe 3 months, the just unpackaging.
And were you able to function in other aspects of your life, like hold down a job and get your son off to school and all
yes.
that stuff? You weren't curled up in the fetal position on your living room floor
no.
going through this?
I was actually in such a great headspace.
Wow.
That even when I was going through, like I said again, this was for why my recycling events. If you're recycling events, y'all, trust me. It was these moments that I noticed, wait, I'm going through the same thing, but this time, instead of me thinking of it in a negative way, it's positive. Things ended. The bad that I was going through ended. And when I tell you I bounced back and did such a 180 in these areas, it was just mind-boggling. So move it forward 15 years, 14, 15 years now. I don't hesitate when it comes to manifestation. Like my soul moment, you know, I was out here. I said, okay, as a team, we're coming to the NAMM show. We got Grammys week. You know, we're going to be intentional. And so I never, ever write out.
When she says we, she means the team at Here Technologies.
Yes. So I don't really write out a wish list because I'm intentionally wishing it anyway in my manifestation practices.
Okay.
And so what that means for me is, I'm already in a headspace where I know something positive is going to happen. I'm always staying connected to today is the day that I'm going to see something totally amazing to blow my mind, which is the example of the NAMM story. That blew my mind. I woke up that day and I said, something crazy amazing is going to happen. So I live that way daily. But it wasn't until I really took the time. And I get it, y'all. You don't like writing. You think it's a task. Well, here's the thing. What if the words that you wrote and the things that you're experiencing now that are holding you back, what if it would all it took was you taking a sheet of paper and a pencil and writing out everything that you're experiencing, you have experienced? What if it was as simple as that?
So it's not self-analysis. It's just writing down the experiences.
Writing down the experiences of this is how I feel, this happened. And like there's people who are holding grudges in life. Why are you holding a grudge? Well, if you wrote down what happened and you realized that, hey, it's the thoughts about that grudge and that person, and it's not actually what happened, and you flip that into something positive, you can write away everything that you're, like, letting you stay stuck. It was almost like, you know, if you're ever on a roller coaster ride and it's got to start, the person's got to push the button and it's got its automatic brakes.
Yeah.
Well, I kept feeling like the automatic brakes, but I was stopping. After doing all of this, I feel like I was at Six Flags on the Scream Machine, and I'm just wide open because that was the most freeing feeling. When you don't have anything holding you back and there's nothing bothering you and you have nothing to worry about, everything is functioning and flowing in your world, you write better music. For me, I started writing incredible music. And I'm not just saying that to say, oh, okay, well, because I'm talking about when your heroes of music are telling you your stuff is amazing. Why don't I know of you? Who did this? You produced this? What? Where are you based out of? And they start asking those questions. And then they ask you, can I have your contact? Oftentimes, pride, selfishness, and being stuck in a situation where you're routinely doing the same thing is why it's hard to grasp the art of just writing something simply away that might be blocking you. And you may not even know that you're blocked. You may have like situations that happened that were minor that will evolve into major things that you thought you've forgotten about. And just the act of just taking and being obedient and paying attention to yourself, because this is brain, this is your brain workout. And just taking the time to take all of this empty paper. Could you imagine if you take the time to write all of the negative stuff away? Think about the beautiful melodies and the beautiful lyrics that you're going to now replace and put on this same picture. Because this is an empty page, but the picture is what you replace it with. I'm getting chills talking about it.
Well, you've saved people a lot of money on therapy, that's for sure. Because, I mean, let's face it, I'm pretty sure. I mean, I went to marriage counseling 40 years ago or something, and it's the only time I've ever been to therapy. But isn't a therapist's job is to get you to these self-realizations where they ask you a series of questions to where you go, oh, you're doing that here by writing down the negative, flipping to the positive, and then manifesting from that.
Yes. So much so. Kid you not. After I did the whole work, and I'm always doing this. Guys, I wrote a book in 10 days. And it's simply a transformational guide for the struggling musician. How can I transform my career?
Let me know when it's available, and I will let them know, because if you've written the book, I want to read it. I'm sure anybody watching this episode will want to read it. I mean, it's amazing stuff. And I haven't known you long, but got to know you pretty well in a short amount of time and know how incredibly genuine and honest you are. So if you're saying this stuff, I believe it. And just watch her in action for an hour under any circumstances. You'll go, she's special. And maybe this is
you.
Maybe this is the reason. You know, maybe because you got rid of all those blocks.
Yeah, I live daily freely.
Wow.
I'm thankful. I'm humbled that, you know, like you know, we mentioned Hair Technologies. You guys, I work for one of the most amazing companies in the entirety of the world. You know. And the funny, crazy thing about that is I was using the products for years and didn't even know they are based in my hometown.
I can't remember if I put this one up or not, but
oh,
here's Kim at work at the Taxi Road Rally. And then there's this little device, which people were in love with. Explain what that is briefly.
Oh, it's our beautiful Matrix. It's the switchback. And so, guys, that is the most sleekest but amazing power-packed interface capabilities in the size. It's so small. It's like a little pack that you can wear.
Yeah.
It's a 4-channel interface, and it's Dante based. And so, you know, Dante is like one of the leading new protocols in the world of recording.
Okay.
You know, it's giving you the capability to talk and receive playback at the same time. And the great part about it is, this little baby, it's used especially in like in sports. If you pay attention to baseball fields, there's a sportscaster down there. He's talking. Well, how's he talking back to the producer? Because he's using this little baby right here.
Ah, okay.
It's largely used in our sports world, you know.
So you can use it as an interface, but also it's as a headphone mixer as well.
Well, it's a standalone unit. So you have all of it, and it's compatible with every DAW. So you don't have to worry about will it work with Ableton or Pro Tools or any DAW. It's going to be a standalone. Now, because it's Dante, obviously you have to have Dante controller on your computer. I believe that's a free service. But you just go into the Dante controller. You pretty much get to map out where your ins and outs are. And from there, it's Cat 5, Cat 6 cable.
Oh, wow.
And it's a beautiful device.
All right. So, obviously I don't want to turn this into a sales video, but it's worth mentioning because it got so much attention at the Road Rally. And people kept coming up to me saying things like, I had no idea anything like that was out there.
Right.
So, and Kim already talked to her boss, her division head or whatever Mike is.
Yes.
And said, we're going back to the Road Rally next year. So I'm excited to have them back because the people that checked us out after the rally were telling me that they'd been to the mountain and they saw something really cool. So yay for Hair Technologies.
Yay.
You guys make a lot of other stuff. But
yes.
As far as the audio for recording studio stuff, we all know that in like big boy studios, when you've got a full rhythm section playing, back in my day, we didn't have the capability of the bass player dialing in his own mix or the keyboard player dialing in her own mix. And Hair Technologies line of products that's the majority of the stuff that you guys make audio-wise is that. And all the major studios have it. As a matter of fact, I was going to call my friend who runs Criterion, my alma mater, and say, oh, look at that. Let's go to Criteria. There we are. Now we're at Criteria.
Yay!
Anyway, that's where I started my career. And the gentleman who runs that place has become a good friend of mine. And I was going to say, you know what? I've got this friend, Kim. You got to have her come down, give her a tour, and let her talk to you about their stuff. They've already got the stuff in there.
Yes.
So
it's the easiest way to give you the ability to have your own personal mix. It's knobs. It's just on our, especially on our Hearback Pro Hub system, you have up to 128 channels.
Wow.
So could you imagine you can record an orchestra, a choir, and a band and still have room for backgrounds?
Wow. And everybody can dial in their own.
Everybody can dial in.
At least sectionally.
And then the great part is,
actually, everybody,
as long as it's a mixer, you can dial in.
Okay. Wow.
And so one of the greatest moments was Snarky Puppy. Whenever they get ready to do their live albums, they always use our product. So if you pay attention to any of the live recordings, those 200 plus mixers, that's Jack. That's our Pro Hub unit. It's digital with our Pro Hub, so you can use Dante and Maddie. You can do analog, AES, ADAT. We're also the OEM for Waves Bridge SoundGrid, so a lot of companies, you know, on studios, as well as producers, those that are Waves Bridge and SoundGrid, then you're actually using our Hear product.
Wow.
But it's just through Waves. And we've had the most impressive run because over the times, as the years went by, you know, Hear Technologies is really, it was designed by musicians for musicians. And everything you could think of, from ambience. Most people don't want to feel like they have any inner ears in their, you know, in the ears, because it's kind of weird. You know, you want to control the sound, but you also want to be able to hear your crowd. Well, our Pro Hub allows you to turn up the ambience, turn it down, and you get the ability to kind of adjust it the way you want to hear it. One thing that is really cool is you can also do panning. You can mirror the mixers. And we have an app that, especially we have a new app that's coming out as well, that's going to allow you to have the ability to do any and almost everything with saving the sessions, you know.
All from the app.
All from the app. You can use your regular cell phone to name your channels, or you can use an iPad, or you can use a traditional computer. You know, it's just one of the easiest systems, the personal mixer systems. I mean, some of our higher known and most amazing clients, Lady Gaga, Madonna, Aerosmith, Stevie Wonder. I mean, there's so many people that love the Hearback system. And we were the first in the world to present Hearback. Then the others came along. So we're automatically the very first. We're the best.
Awesome. Love to hear that. And I know you
I have to be partial.
But you love the company. You could have not said this stuff. You could have made the informational part of the show a lot shorter. Nobody asked me to do this. Nobody at here said, you know, make sure you mention the product.
No.
I did it because I saw the reaction
at the rally. Now, here's the thing. This was my first taxi rally. Now, keep in mind, I'm a musician. And for years, I shared with you, Michael, I wanted to be a member because, you know, I'm humbled. I'm a humble, you know, I came from small beginnings. So it wasn't always at one point, hey, I can pay $199 for a membership. No, I mean, I had to be like, all right, wait a minute. Can I do that? Or you had to plan back in the day. This was before I wrote all this stuff away that was making me having the same recycled events over and over. But y'all, the road rally is amazing. I'm not saying that because I got a chance to see it from my sponsor.
Know this was coming, right?
No, he didn't. This is strictly me. Guys, there's so much camaraderie. It's so amazing to see people from all over the world assembling to learn about the correct way to present their craft. Did you hear what I said? The correct way. Because there's a way to do things, but there's also the correct way. And now I'm a sponsor, but do you not think I didn't take advantage? I promise. I popped my head in. I was asking questions. I wanted to know.
How did your one-to-one mentor session go?
Okay. Picture this.
Who was your mentor?
I got two. I don't know how.
Oh, that's right. Because you originally had one, and I said this person would be better.
This person would
and
be better.
I told the guys, just let her keep the other one.
So James Cone?
A special privilege.
I did. That was a sneaky. But it was amazing, okay? So
who was your?
James
Cone. Oh, James Koshin.
Koshin, yes.
Yeah,
James Koshin.
Amazing.
He was listening, and you know, guys, you got to keep in mind, they are going to put their earphones out. And if you say you make music, be prepared for showing your music. This is the Fearless Kim coming out. This is what I need you guys to learn how to do, fearlessly attacking. If you've done the work in the studio and you've made sure that your recording is polished. Now, we're not telling you to create based off of somebody else. Create based off of you. But if you've gotten it mixed professionally, mastered professionally, and you've gotten the metadata behind your songs done correctly, that means when the person that's screening your music, they're going to push your song and it's going to be correctly named. If you put your Q code or your Writers Association codes, like ISRC. Yeah, if you have that, then you're gonna know the format. It's levels to this, y'all. So he sits down and he's like, okay, let me hear this song. This is James Koshin.
That sounded nothing like James.
I know.
It sounded like Kim doing James.
Me doing gotcha. James. But he was shocked. He was like, hold on. And then he pulls it. This is your song? Yes. He was like, what do you need my help on?
That's so funny.
And the thing is, it's not that I needed help with creating, producing. I just needed help with pulling my sound from internationally now over to my country in the U.S. Okay. And he was like, okay, here's what we're going to do. You take my number, another moment. And he was like, we're going to get back together like closer to the beginning of the year, which I have talked to him. And he was like, I don't really know what to tell you other than you're kind of at that. Most people, he said, are kind of trying to get to a place. You're already past that. You just need to get a foundation and a team here to do what's already been done there, is what he was saying.
Interesting.
And so Derek Nakamoto.
Yeah.
I met with him.
Derek, just so you know, Derek has done like string arrangements on really big records. He's a great producer. He's a pretty cerebral guy and a very likable man.
Yes,
I might add.
So my songs have strings on it. And he says, oh, you have a string. Okay. He puts it on. And he said, I'm very curious as to who you got to do the conduction for your string section. I said, oh, I did. I just had the demos and I sent it out. This is what I need. And he said, you did your own? I was like, yes, I did. And he was just like, oh my gosh.
They haven't had the Kim experience yet. They didn't know what you're capable of. I'm telling you, she is like literally a one-woman army. Sorry, I'm making it cooler.
And so the thing is, though, I just know for me, I'm a girl in music, and I just wanted to find a way to work smarter, not harder, and be able to figure out, well, what does that look like? How does that look? Does that mean I need to go overseas, which I did?
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean I need to learn how to network, which I've done? I've learned how to network. You know, oftentimes, I'll say this, often people are afraid to try because they're afraid of failing,
mm-hmm.
and they don't know what's going to happen. It's okay to get a no. I've gotten thousands of no's. But guess what? That one yes equates to everything that you could have been given that no on. That one yes allows you to have the push, the motivation to keep going for the second yes and the third yes. And the fourth, yes.
I hear that from taxi members when they finally get a forward. They're discouraged. I'm not going to be a member next year. They stick it out for some reason, and they get a single forward, and they go, okay, now I've got the juice to go try and get my next forward. And you're right. There's a ladder effect.
Can I tell you a story?
Yeah.
All right. So my first time trying to place music with taxi, y'all, true story. I submitted my whole album.
Should I go to the restroom or anything?
No!
I should be here.
No! Okay. This is a good thing. Y'all, the first time I did I mean, the first time I did my little submission, I intentionally did it with my manifestation, and I submitted my whole album, The Science of Completion, Volume 1. I submitted the whole project. Out of the 11 songs, 6 of them got forwarded. My first time.
Darn good.
My second time, I forwarded some other, because it was asking for non-release music. So right. I got another album called Intermission that's coming out soon. I submitted 3 songs from it. 2 of them got... And I was like, okay, evidently this writing all this bad... This works, y'all.
I can't tell you if every screener does this. So don't you guys say, oh, Taxi does this.
No.
This is not something... No. I'm talking about something I'm going to add as a retail.
Oh, yeah.
So back when I still screened, and it's been many, many years, but there were artists that would submit 4, 5, 6 songs for a particular
And this was
listener.
Even before I knew you. So Michael had nothing to do with that, y'all.
I can honestly...
He honestly had nothing to do with that.
I could just stand before God with my daughters in my arms and say, never once have I ever said to anybody in this staff, make sure that gets a forward or doesn't get a forward.
Yeah.
I have zero influence over this stuff. But I used to be one of the original 12 screeners from back in the day. And there were times where people would submit a multiple, maybe 4, 5, 6, 7 songs, the same listing.
Yeah.
And they were all good. But there were times where I would, let's say I got 5, I would only forward 3. And even though the other 2 were good, and we hear from members, oh yeah, you guys forwarded 3 and then the library picked up the 2 you didn't forward. Well, the reason I chose, this is not something that we mandate with the screeners. I want to be perfectly clear about that. Other people may have figured this out on their own, but being encouraging and merciful is not a good choice of words. I wanted to give the member the best shot. So if you forward all 5, but 2 of the 5, even though they're good, they're not as good as the other 3. When the end user client gets them, if they happen to listen to song 4 or 5, they're hearing the A minus, not the A plus. So I wouldn't forward the 2 A minuses. I would only forward the A plus, knowing full well that if the producer, publisher, whomever heard the 3 strong ones, then they'd say, got anything else? So that was my reason for doing that. So that's why you may not have gotten all of them forwarded.
And the thing is that they came back with, and this is the thing, guys, don't be afraid of the critique that you get. Use that critique for your benefit, because they're giving you strong feedback on if your song was not as strong as they required for that listing. Look at what they're saying. Pay attention to those words. And then go back and fix that. You may actually have a hit record, or you may have something that could be used for another placement request, because they come often, you know? And so I looked at the feedback. The person was like, well, the only reason why this one didn't get forwarded is because it had a monologue. But if you took that out and submitted it back with just the actual vocal and the music, it would be perfect. But that's just, again, my experience. Now, I knew of Taxi many years ago because, obviously, as a songwriter and a singer, you want to get into a market where you can get visibility, but also get into film and television. Mm-hmm. And so Taxi is unique for that, because it gives the opportunity for the everyday working girl or guy to have a place where they can just, bam, submit something. And if it's right up the alleys of the, you know, the examples, you have a chance, just like the next person. And it gives you the voice to be able to have your music heard, which is something that I was like, oh my gosh, this is great. And so to meet him in person, it's just...
as good as the person you met at the NAMM show, but I'll be happy to...
Hey, listen, that is a whole dream, but you know what? I believe in divine intervention, and I believe that our meeting was divine. And it was divine. And I thank you for all of the years that you've had Taxi, because you've given so many the hope and the voice. You've helped so many people. And so, guys, if you haven't been to a road rally, make every attempt to be there. Start writing now. It's January.
No, November.
No, but it's January now. Oh. If you go ahead and start writing out all of this stuff, you're going to manifest the next song.
It's actually February, but yes.
Oh, it is February.
She's been on the road.
I've been on the road, y'all. Sorry. I've been gone, like, Yeah, it is February. It's February.
Yeah, you got here January 21st.
Yeah, it's January.
And then
it's February.
The show,
yes,
and now
the Grammys week.
You're sticking around for Grammys.
Yeah, so, okay, guys, you got plenty of time to take
I beg people to come to the Road Rally, and I'm sure that they go, oh, yeah, that sounds like it might be cool. Some people are intimidated. It's like, 2,000 musicians, I won't stick out. How will I get noticed? I'll feel like a wallflower. I'm going to be intimidated. I hear the opposite of that from the people who thought that was going to be the case. They come and they go, I was so comfortable.
Yes.
And felt so welcomed and embraced. And all these people who didn't know me were like, let me hear your music. Oh, dude, that's really good, but I think that the bass is too loud. Pull it back a little.
Yes.
It's a self-supporting community unlike any other from what people tell me.
It is. And you get beautiful connections. I made some really great friends. You get to connect with people that may be in different, like for me, you know, I know my instruments I play, but I met some great bass players. I met some great drummers, great lyricists, you know, even met some really great mixing producers. And so it gives you the ability to network and say, hey, well, let me just see what your skill is. And you never know.
You played, I didn't know this, you played at one of the jam sessions, right?
Yes.
I had to go through like a couple thousand photos to pick out a couple
yes.
of dozen for the newsletter, and I'm going through. It was actually not a very flattering shot, so I didn't stick to it. But there's you playing keys
yes.
at one of the jam sessions.
Me and Deja, one of my besties, and she's one of my coworkers. We played the jam session, and we played the first night. We didn't really have the best night. And so she said, hey, I'm sorry. Let's do it again. I said, all right, you can listen to me this time. And before we could get in there good, everybody remembered us from the night before. And they started, hey, Kevin Danger's here. And so the guy that was over the organization of getting all the artist names on.
Oh,
the,
right, right. Richard Dance.
Richard. Hey, I heard Kevin Danger's back. And so we went up there and we performed. And we had a standing ovation.
Wow. And did he play guitar when you played? Because he's a monster guitar
well,
player.
No. The second time around, we had nobody. It was just me on keys and Deja and I sang.
Oh, wow.
And we had a standing ovation. When I tell you, the room was packed. You know how you can have the moments where people are talking in the background?
Yeah.
Everybody is silent. And I heard this voice, finally! Finally, somebody in here can sing. You know, it was just beautiful. And I don't take away from anybody else, but you got to know, I've had a journey. I have had a really eclectic life. And so from the time that I've had the ability to see the album, the Science of Completion, get to where it is, to being with Hear Technologies, even to just being able to know great people like you.
Thank you.
And our hidden person from NAMM. I'm just really humbled.
You know, another thing you and I have in common, the name of your album, The Science of Completion. I just did a Taxi TV episode with Robin Frederick, and it was called something like How to Complete Your Songs. Because so many people start and don't finish.
And don't finish.
For whatever reason, they hit a roadblock and go, eh, and they walk away from it. But a lot of success in the industry is just finish the lap on the track. Even
right.
if you have to walk the last half a lap or whatever the case is in life, force yourself to complete because without completion, you've got nothing. There's a famous marketing author. You probably know about him. His name is Seth Godin. And I've read many of his books. And he has a book that talks about shipping. Shipping is like you would know this working it here. You come out with a new product. We need to ship it by January 10th.
Right.
You have a ship date. And come hell or high water, you're going to make that date. That drives the development team, the manufacturing team, the distro
right.
team, everybody. So the same thing is true for a songwriter
yes.
trying to finish a song, somebody
yes.
pitching through Taxi.
Yes.
You've got to have a point where you ship it. You just ship it. Don't worry about over-perfecting it because perfection is the enemy.
Right.
and nobody watching a TV show is going to go, I wouldn't have put that harmony in there, or, you know, whatever. So don't worry about the stuff that shouldn't be worried about. Journal
right.
it.
Journal it. Y'all, again, how I got to the point where I really started effectively finishing everything is after I spent all the time writing all the bad stuff out. then all of the good stuff started happening. That's the good songs. That's writing a book. That's just finishing what I started. And if you're in that era right now, and you get to the point where you get overwhelmed, you got a writer's block, you can't finish task, you can't stay motivated, you can't stay focused, you're depressed, you're worrying about everything, and you can't see the silver lining, you need to start writing all of this stuff out. And then, at that point, you might be able to figure out what's next.
Would you do a class on this at the Road Rally?
I would do it.
I think that would be a class that would be really well attended, and I think anybody who goes to that class is going to walk out of the room a little richer emotionally.
I would.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yes, I would.
Anything that you want to cover that I haven't? I kind of threw this
show together. I think we did everything. We had breakfast, lunch, and dinner, even a snack. I'm just humbled, and like I said, closer to March, I've got a AA coming out, so the next project is going to be called Intermission. You can find me on socials, Kim Tibbs Music on Instagram, Kim Tibbs Music on Facebook, Kim Tibbs on TikTok, Kim Tibbs on YouTube. I'm easy to find. Kim Tibbs, yes.
I have a confession. The first time we spoke on the phone, you told me your name. I wrote down Gibbs. There's so much Road Rally stuff out there that has Kim Gibbs on it. I have notes on this laptop in my Day Runner, Kim
That's
Gibbs.
That's okay.
Kim
The Andy Gibbs, like the Bee Gees, yeah. I'd be part of their family.
Did I ever tell you that I knew all those guys?
No!
Yeah. That's a whole other story.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I was there under the roof with them every day.
That is incredible.
Barry Gibb, nicest human being you'll ever meet. I was particularly friendly with Maurice, the brother who played bass.
Now he tells us.
Yeah. I the day I started working at Criteria, they were finishing up the song Jive Talkin', which was kind of their comeback single.
Yeah, the comeback, yeah.
Yeah, and then all that stuff they did for the next couple of records.
Oh, my God. You were the person behind it.
No. I was just in there working on other projects. So I go grab a cup of coffee.
Them.
One day I saw Barry in the hallway because, you know, we're all like a family. There's like 50 of us under the roof at any point.
Wow.
Some of us are still friends 40 years later. But I would see Barry in the hallway, and one day I said to him, I was 19 years old. I was a dumb little kid, you know, and I said, Barry, but I could tell that he liked me. You know, people saw they had a lot of energy and a good work ethic. And I said, Barry, how do you write a hit song?
Wow.
Talk about naive, but
that
you know,
is the epitome of whoa.
And he looks at me and he goes, emotion, mate. And just walked away with his coffee. Emotion. Like, didn't everybody know that already?
Emotion, y'all. Yeah. Write it. Emotion.
Yeah. Anyway, well, this has been great. I'm so thrilled that you reached out and that we were able to get together. I hope you guys enjoyed it.
Please
come to the Road Rally so you can go to
Please
King's
come
class.
To the Road Rally. I guess I'm going to be a teacher.
And it's go perfect. Up to Kim's. You know what? We should have you be a mentor at the Eat and Greet lunch, too. A table full of people would be thrilled to hear this stuff.
Hey, listen, I'm all for it, you know.
And go up to the Hear Technology booth and check out their products, because the people who took the time to do it were genuinely impressed. And I'm just so...
You got to understand, we're from the South, guys, at Hear Technology. So it's something about that Southern hospitality. And so one thing that our company prides itself on is the customer service. We love our products, so we're going to love those as well that support our products. So, you know, I can speak on behalf of Frank Pitts, our president, as well, and CEO, and Mike West, who you spoke with earlier, my team, Donnie, Nason, Max, Deja, Katie, Mr. Kim. There's two of us, Kim. There's Mr. Kim and me. You know, we're a team that loves. We love each other, and so we support. And everybody has a strategic job that they do, but we just love it so much that it's not work. It's fun for us.
Wow.
So catch us there, y'all.
Absolutely. With that, I'm going to say goodbye. And I'm sorry that we couldn't do this live with you. This is as close as we get. But I am going to figure out a way to run this live on YouTube so you guys can hang out in the chat room and talk about making meatloaf for dinner, whatever you guys do in the chat room. Kim, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. Yay!
I was thrilled to have
you. Best friends back together again.
Yeah. All right. And see you next week for another exciting episode of Taxi TV Live.
That was great!